Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest.
Hey, I hope that you had the best holiday season. I hope that your Christmas was great, and that time in between Christmas and New Year's was met with rest and relaxation and reflecting and planning for the new year. What I don't hope for you is I don't hope that you ate so much that you decided to punish your body. I hope that you didn't set resolutions to lose 15, 20 pounds based on how you feel after indulging. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend Jennifer Taylor Wagner. She is here to talk about her new book, Your Good Body. Friend, your body is so good. Your body is so worth the fight. And your body is worth loving. And that is what Jennifer and I are talking about. We are talking about owning and loving our bodies exactly where they're at. We're talking about how we have both punished our bodies, how we have both just not loved them at certain points, and how we can grow and change and start this new year differently. I know that I am not feeling the best in my skin right now, but I don't want to punish it. I don't want to restrict myself, and I don't want to cut back so that I am a miserable, grumpy person. I know that I want to lead my body with intention. I want to be intentional about how I'm using it, what I'm putting in it, and treat my body just as it is. Good. It is a good body. Is a body that has done so much for me. So friend, I really am excited for you to listen to this episode. I saved it for today because I know so many of us are getting ready to start the new year and set some big goals, and whether around our body or not, I just wanted you to listen to this episode. I also wanted to release it now because Jennifer's book comes out on the 11th, and I just feel like it's a great time for us to be reminded how good our bodies are, and Jennifer is just the perfect one to tell us her story and share this message. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey friends, I'm so excited to be sitting down with an internet friend that I feel like is like we are making it real now, right? I'm so excited to introduce you guys to Jennifer Taylor Wagner, and we're talking about her new book, Your Good Body. Ugh, I'm so excited to be sharing this conversation. And Jennifer, thank you for joining us for coffee.
Thank you so much for having me. I am just thrilled to be here.
This is so much fun. Like, we both sat down because we follow each other online. And we both sat down. We're like, hi.
Like, we're already friends.
Yes. And I told you, like, that's the beauty of the internet to me. That's kind of like that, you know, it's a double-edged sword, especially as creators on the internet. But when you get to sit down with somebody that you followed for a while and you're like, hi. This is exciting.
You really do feel like you already like really know the person. So it is kind of a like, oh, like I kind of already know you. Like
Sure. I agree. So first, Jennifer, tell me, what's in your cup? Are you drinking anything for our coffee time together?
I'm a little bit sad that I left my cup downstairs, but I am planning after this conversation, I think I'm going to go make a run and get some iced coffee. I feel the need, like I'm just, the scent of pumpkin is like in the air. It is fall outside. I'm like, it's alluring me to go get a cup of just pretty beautiful, cold, pumpkin-y iced coffee. Yeah. That's what I'm just craving right now.
I think that's, and I support that for you, and I definitely think you should go do that. Do you know the only time I drink cold coffee is in the fall? And I live in Texas, and I do not enjoy cold coffee, except I like the shaken espressos, I will say that. Like the cold brew, cold foam, whatever that is that Starbucks has perfected and put like drugs into for us.
Right.
That's the only like time I drink it, and it's
because of the pumpkin. I don't know.
I have not been an iced coffee person like ever. It has just started in the past couple of months. And yeah, the cold foam on the top is just, it's heavenly. It's like, it's a wonderful thing. And I, and now that's just what I keep wanting. And I'm wondering when I'm going to want to switch back to hot coffee like I've always drank. Yeah. But we'll see.
We'll see. Keep me posted.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Okay, Jennifer, we're going to talk all about your book today, but I want to hear your story. Just kind of like, how did you get from like point A to point B and to the point of like being so passionate about writing a book about our bodies? Like, there's a story there. I know it. So tell me.
Okay, I will definitely tell you. There is, yeah, you're right. There's a massive story behind what I am so passionate about, which is how we feel about our bodies and being at peace with our bodies. But to get to that place, I kind of have to give a little bit of backstory of what I've kind of walked through. Otherwise, you're like, well, why are you so, why is it such a thing for you? Why are you so passionate about this? Why do you feel like it's so important? So for me, part of my backstory is the battle of the size of my body. And so struggling with or just letting weight take up too much space in my mind has been a huge thing for me. So I reached my heaviest weight at 336 pounds. And what people don't realize is that I went on this massive weight loss journey over a decade ago. It's been a while, but I lost like this huge amount of weight. But here's the big kicker. I'm not here to give you weight loss tips or a diet to try. We're going to go so far in the other direction of that. So I don't want you to like even go there in your brain right now. But the kicker is this, is that I lost all this weight, right? I did the thing that a lot of people who battle their weight want to do. I lost the weight, right? I lost over 150 pounds. Only to find myself more critical of my body than I had ever been. And so I kind of had this realization. I was sitting in our little tiny two-bedroom apartment with my teeny tiny kids, and I realized, wow, my mind and heart are still consumed with criticism about my body, self-criticism about my body. And I realized in that moment, like I had worked on all of this physical stuff. I had treated my body like it was just never going to be good enough. Like it was just taking up too much space in the room. Like I just needed to lose the weight, just needed to get small enough, just needed to fit into a size, whatever, just needed to lose a certain amount of pounds, only to completely miss this huge piece of the puzzle, arguably one of the most important pieces, which is how I feel about the girl in the mirror, how I feel about this body that I live in. And so I realized in that moment, wow, I've got a lot more work to do, but this time it's not just physical work. I've got to look at how at my relationship with this actual physical body of mine and how I see this body of mine. And so that's been the whole thing over the past several years is switching my mindset to how can I change my body enough to make it good enough? Switching away from that.
Yeah.
And turning toward how can I begin to see my body as good and as amazing and as incredible right now today, regardless of what changes are to come.
I love that. What was, as you came to that realization, what was like the first thing that you were like, I have to start accepting me for me? Like, what was that first step of doing that for you? Like, was it like just like a mantra in the mirror, which I'm not a huge mantra person, but like, was it, how did you start? How do you start liking the you in the skin that you're in?
Well, I realized it was going to be a process for sure. I was like, okay, this is not going to happen overnight. This is going to take some effort because for me, you have to understand, I was bullied about my weight from the time I was a little girl, from kindergarten. And so when you've been told for all of these years, like your formative years, like as you're a little kid and as you're an adolescent, a teenager, all the way through, you've been told you're just not okay because you take up too much space. When you've been told that over and over and over again, rewriting that message in your heart is really hard. And I'll be honest, I still have to work at that. Mm-hmm. I am still in progress. I am still in the middle, right? I haven't like totally perfected that in my own heart as of yet. But I do remember that moment when I realized just how discontent with my body I was. And I was like, okay, the starting point for me, I guess, because I was like, I have no idea how to fix that. Like, you don't, at the time, like, I didn't see anybody. I mean, there were people, and that's another thing, but I didn't see anybody like walking through learning to love their body. I just saw people with a before and after photo all the time telling me, lose more weight, lose more weight, lose more weight.
Yeah.
So I wasn't seeing anybody saying, like, hey, like, your body's awesome right now. Like, yeah, let's learn to love it how it is right now. And so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and strip off all my clothes and look in the mirror. And when I'm tempted to see like everything as an imperfection and as a flaw in air quotes, I'm going to actually flip that a little and I'm going to smile at the girl in the mirror. And I just told myself, I'm like, I'm going to tell myself, this is what we're going to do tomorrow. So we're going to wake up, we're going to go, we're going to look at our naked body in the mirror, and we're going to say, okay, we're going to smile and we're going to say, my body is good. Or whatever it was years ago. It's like, I'm gonna choose better words to describe my body than just seeing it so critically. So that was like my first step. And when I would love to say that like that magically fairy dust just like filled the room and I was like, yay, and I love my body now. But like that's not how it worked. It was a process and there was a lot more to it, and there still is a lot to it. But that was my beginning stage where I was like, I'm going to walk in that direction. I'm going to start. And at the time, even back then, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm free. This is great. I love my body now. And like, it's good and it's amazing. And I didn't even like, now I look back and I'm like, you thought you were free then. Mm-hmm. But as you've walked more forward and forward and forward in this area, look at how much more freedom comes with every step you take to see your body in a positive light. So it's really amazing, just the whole journey of it all.
I love that. I think it's so true. And it is such a journey. And I love that you're saying that too. It's not like we are a generation of like instant gratification. Like if it's going to make me lose 10 pounds tomorrow, then I don't want it. Like honestly.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes that's right. My biggest struggle. And so I love that you're like, this was 10 years in the making. This was a 10-year process. And not only that, but is it a 10-year process to break those chains of what was spoken over you as a child? So it's not, and you're not even done yet. Like there's still work to be done. There's still chains to be broken, and there's still more freedom. Like you said, like to look at that girl 10 years ago and be like, you thought you were free then, but just wait. And in 10 years, that version of you is going to look and say, ah, you thought you were free then, just wait.
That's so true. Yeah.
So
you're so right.
Exciting.
Yeah.
And so I want to know, like, what, aside from the, like, the overcoming that mental, those mental blocks that we have, because sometimes, like, people outside of us are probably celebrating you, saying, like, high five, way to lose that 135 pounds. Like, you did it. But they don't know the struggle within our hearts. So what was the biggest struggle in your heart that you faced? And then what was the biggest struggle like on the outside that you faced?
Oh, that's such a good question. That is such a good question. I love that you even mentioned the like the praise of people around you that you get when you go through a weight loss transformation. Because so what people hard. See is like this before and after snapshot. And that's not even what it is. It's actually a before and a middle somewhere snapshot. And it's a snapshot. It's like, it's not this like A to B thing. And here's to answer your actual question. Having so many people say, way to go. You lost the weight. You look amazing. Wow. How did you do that? What happens is when you hear that over and over, it's not just that you get a big head, you actually tie your worth to the size of your body. So then you're right back where you started, being discontent with your body, because our bodies are always changing. And the more we're focused on fixing our bodies, the more critical of our bodies we become. And so I'm hearing all these people say, wow, way to go. How'd you do it? Teach me how to do it. You look amazing, all these things. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And part of it was like, oh, wow, they're noticing my hard work. And but there's this deeper piece that's like, oh yeah, all those people, all those years, they were right. Like, it, I really do have to be smaller to get people's approval. Is that like, or to fit the mold, or to be okay? Like, for me, growing up in a larger body, I just wanted to be okay. Like, I remember when I was, I don't know, 19 years old and started my journey, I remember my motive was not, oh man, you know, let me get on this thing so I can wear a bikini. Like, that, for me, that was not it. With all the hard things that I walked through with body stuff, all I really wanted was to walk into a room and be okay. I didn't want to feel like I was taking up too much physical space in the room and therefore I wasn't really welcome. I didn't want to feel that way. I wanted to just like fade into the background. I wanted to just be acceptable. So that's where the struggle came with. It's no longer just like, oh, I'm doing this and I'm crushing it and I'm, you know, I'm losing the weight and I'm doing the, it's more like, oh, so you really do attach me to the size of my body. And then that's this whole big thing to unpack in your own heart. Cause you're like, surely there's more to me than that. You know, surely there's more to me than the body that I live in or the size of my body. Like, there's so much more. And that's why now I'm like, I refuse to be reduced to the size of my body or reaching a certain number on the scale. That's not, for me, that's not just a thing I say. Like, that's not just a cute slogan. For me, I've walked through so much in my life. I have battled this so hard that it's like, no, I can't spend the rest of my life, number one, in dieting mode, in dieting mentality, but also spend the rest of my life assuming that the most meaningful thing about me is my body, because it's just not. There's so much more to me, and I'm committed to sharing what's on the inside, the depths of me, what really matters with the world, rather than just letting everyone reduce me to my body, my physical body.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that, like, you felt like you took up too much space. Like, because I think within the church, like, the way I was raised was you were either too much personality-wise, too big of a personality, and you were told to, like, be quiet. And then some of that, like, has turned inward. And now I think as adults and as women, kind of, like, coming up in this next generation of, like, speakers and doers and entrepreneurs, we kind of see that, like, that we're kind of like busting out that mold a little bit, like, hey, I'm here. Like, God made me the way I am, and I'm going to take up this space. But I've never thought of it in a physical space aspect, except for the fact of, like, oh no, my pants are too big or too small. They are never too big.
Right. But, like, I totally knew what you meant.
I've never thought of it in that aspect of, like, I'm taking up too much space here. So have you kind of felt both of those poles? Like, I'm too big of a personality and I take up too much space. And how do you reconcile that? Like, is it that, like, I'm more than my body? And sometimes I'm like, I'm more than my personality. Like, come on. Like, it's such a funny thing, the lies that we believe and how each one shapes us differently. Whereas I was just told to sit down and be quiet. And now I'm like,
wow.
Hey man, here I am.
Here I am. Right. Yes. Jinx, you owe me a coffee. That's right. Here I am. it's so interesting, the whole taking up space thing and how it's led me to where I am now, because even just sharing my story was really hard for me in the beginning of. I had a friend / mentor who was challenging me years ago. She's like, Jennifer, you have this whole story. You need to start sharing it. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't want to. I just want to fade into the background. But she would be like, but you don't understand the impact you can have and this and that and how you can help people around you. And I was like, no, you know, but I've realized in the past, actually just a few years, that my tendency to take up less space in the room physically for sure has bled into, like, verbally, like what I say and voicing my, you know, opinion or like my, and I don't mean like in an obnoxious way. I just mean like, bringing it up to like a normal level, like has been very hard for me. And so I remember this was just like a couple years ago. I was just cleaning my house. It was a cleaning day. I was just cleaning my house and I had my AirPods in and I was just cleaning. And I realized it was like, so crystal clear in my heart. It was like, you know, you've always taken up less physical space, and now you're allowing that to take up your like space in the world and what you have to share. And so that made me begin to open up a lot more. But yeah, it for sure. It's like I spent so much time, again, just trying to fade into the background that I was like, I don't want to open up my mouth and say anything. I just want like no one to notice me, you know? So it's been like this opposite thing between like the physical space and like the space of my personality in the world around me, you know?
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers four different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show. Okay, your book is launching early 2022 in a time where it's like after the holidays and we've all indulged too much, or we all have this like nagging feeling on us. And I don't even want to speak this over us because I want to like break this. Like I'm so anti this, but I also feel it, which is such a like I don't, I, it's one of those things. This is what it is. I would never say this to a girlfriend. I would never say the New Year's coming, so you indulge too much, so you need to like scale it back and work out more. I would only say that to myself. I would only say that to myself. Again, why do we say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to our best friends?
Right.
So this is where I'm like uncomfortable, because I'm like, the New Year's coming and we've indulged and we have had some fun and had some cake and cookies, and then we put on those hard pants and they don't fit like they did.
Right.
And so it's like, how, I love that this book is coming out early. I love that it's like a new year. Like, we're going to read this in the new year, and by golly, you're going to believe that you have a good body. Like, we are like proclaiming this over 2022. I really, really believe that. How are we going to do this? How are we going to step into this new year fully believing that we have a good body, aside from reading your book, but also like in a healthy mindset, like setting, I don't know.
I can hear you like trying to explain what you mean. I want you to know, I totally get it. Like, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Like, I totally get it. It is that feeling. Okay. So here's the deal. Like, holidays, they do lend themselves to more play foods, like more like yummy, indulgent, decadent foods. And those foods, it's not just the food. It's a communal thing. It's a way to establish traditions within the our families or with people that we love. Like, there is so much wrapped up in that around the holidays, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm really a big proponent of getting away from this dieting and restrictive mentality. And so when I'm talking to people and we're going into the holidays, I'm already warning people, like, go ahead and have, you know, listen to your body and don't make yourself miserable, but remove the guilt and shame from what you eat and go ahead and enjoy it. Like, if you see that thing, you fill in the blank, whatever it is that you love, where historically you're like, oh, I can't eat that, I shouldn't eat that. You know, just go ahead and say, I'm going to have this and I'm going to enjoy it, because actually removing the guilt and the shame from it will make it to where you feel a little more free. And then when you're eating it, you're actually enjoying it instead of beating yourself up. And then as you begin to listen to your body and honor your fullness and learn your satisfaction factors of your own body, this will help you to actually like enjoy the moment and then not necessarily overdo it. However, like we said, coming out of the holidays, we may have that feeling of, like you said, overindulgence. That's how we feel, right? That's just how we feel. We feel like we've overindulged. We feel like, oh, I don't feel my greatest or whatever. But what I would encourage or challenge someone to do going into being here in the new year, going into a new year, is to look at things completely different when it comes to what your response to that feeling of, oh my gosh, I messed this all up. Look, going with a different response, because the response historically is, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to
punish myself for what I'm
going to punish myself. Yes. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to be really, really strict. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to, you know, follow this plan or this program, and I'm going to do it to a T, and I'm going to exercise my willpower, and I'm going to do the hard work. Get it all out of there. Because there's nothing different about the start of the year from any other time. It's just that we've had all of these wonderful moments and wonderful foods and wonderful memories made that kind of all clustered together and made us feel like, okay, now like I don't feel as amazing as I normally do physically. And so when we're venturing into the new year and we feel that way, I think it's really important to get very curious about our specific body and why we're doing what we're doing. So if I feel like I've had a whole lot of sugar and it just doesn't feel well, my body's probably giving me a signal of, hey, I could really use some protein. Or like I could really use like some water. I really need some hydration here. Or I could really use some fresh air if we could take a walk. Or like, so getting curious. And so it's all about like flipping the motive, because we could very easily slip into dieting mode and say, I have to do this. I have to eat this. I can't eat that, and have all these rules and restrictions. Or we can just say, ooh, a plate with that includes lots of vegetables sounds really satisfying right now. And that's if it does sound really satisfying to you right now. And that doesn't mean I'm going to completely cross out sugar for the next, weeks. It doesn't necessarily mean taking drastic measures. And so I think that, you know, just making sure that our motive is right. And like, I'm going to always say, refuse to go on another diet. But just, like nourishing our bodies and getting in that good place.
I love that so much. And I have to tell you where I've seen growth in my own life, because this has been, I was doing this the other day and I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally growth. I have a sweet tooth. I love candy. Like love candy. I know sugar is bad for us. I know that we're all addicted to sugar. I just really love candy. Hot tamales are my very favorite thing in the entire world.
Yes. Oh yes.
And so my husband bought me a box of hot tamales because we were going to a friend's ranch, and I had a handful. I put the box away. And then 4 days later, I had another handful and I put the box away. And I was like, I've never had a box of hot tamales last a week and a half. And I was this is growth.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that is absolute growth. And doesn't it feel so good?
Yes, it does.
I think we get really scared because we're like, if I loosen the reins, or if I really say that I'm going to make peace with food, or that I'm going to take off the rules and restrictions and all that, I'm going to lose control. That's what we think. We think I'm going to completely go out of control. But what really happens though, when we go through this process of removing restrictions and rules and guilt and shame, truly, when we remove those things from our eating, we actually learn to like honor our hunger, honor our fullness, find that satisfaction factor. And it doesn't be, we don't end up going out of control. That's the bottom line, is we actually end up eating what we actually want when we want it, and then learning to stop when we're done and when we've had enough, and then moving on, knowing that we can stop whenever our body has had enough, because I can have this again at another time.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm the same. Actually, my thing is gummies. I love sour gummies of any kind. So being able to enjoy them when I want them, knowing that I can always have them again another time, whenever I want them, because I don't have rules or restrictions, it has helped me too. That's an area of growth for me too, rather than saying, don't eat them, or like telling yourself to completely hold off for as long as you can. Well, then you will be out of control.
Yeah.
And so allowing ourselves this sort of like organic, shame-free, guilt-free approach to food without rules and restrictions really does lead us to a more like holistic, just way of approaching food and not feeling like we have to completely go out of control when we finally let ourselves have that thing that we really, really want.
Yeah. It's so funny because we are in all or nothing culture. Like, and I think that it's so interesting to me because even hearing you say that, it's like, it's either like we're binging and going hardcore on stuff. I mean, anything. I mean, Netflix, like we are set to binge. We are a all or nothing culture. And so just like when I think about that with dieting and exercise, and I told you before we started recording, like my relationship with the gym before was a like, if I don't work out 5 days a week, then I'm trash. Like then I'm not going to be strong enough. Then I'm not going to all this. And then I told you like going back to the gym was a like, it was this gut wrenching, like sobbing, like I'm going back in, but I'm not who I once was. But I also don't want to be that girl again. I don't want to be obsessed. I just want to feel stronger in my body again. I want to have those leg muscles I had before because I actually really liked them in shorts. And I just don't feel that right now. So I know for me to feel that again, I have to be in the gym. And doing that. And so it's an interesting thing because we are all or nothing. And I think your book and Jess Conley's book, Breaking Free from Body Shame, a lot of these things are teaching us like we can enjoy where we're at actually. Like it's okay. Like we can actually just like
it is.
Sit in this moment. So tell me your thoughts on that.
Oh yeah, it is totally. And that's kind of been the thing is even though like I, you know, learning to love our bodies and to see them in a more positive light, that doesn't mean totally getting rid of our fitness goals or our desire to be healthy or our desire to eat healthy foods or to exercise. For one, you can call me a weirdo. I do love exercise. I have grown to absolutely love it. I love a good, super intense workout. I just, it like gets me going. It reminds me of how far I've come. It reminds me that I can do hard things and that my body's capable of amazing things. Yeah. And I love that. But the thing that trips us up, I think, is that we don't take an extra look at the motive behind it. And so like, so it would be really easy for me to be obsessed with working out because it produces, I don't know, biceps, shoulder muscles, or I don't know, whatever, rather than really embracing the whole thing of exercise, like how it makes me feel and how, again, like celebrating what my body's capable of doing and just how good it feels to get kind of breathless or to break a sweat or to get the aftermath, which is endorphins, which are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like
happy people don't kill their husband.
That's right. Exactly. And so we've got to take a look at the motive behind what we're doing rather than just getting so wrapped up in the outward physical aspects of what we could be working for. You know, it's just, it goes a lot deeper than that.
Yeah.
So I think being content, like embracing where you are doesn't mean that you just stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you just stop with all of these healthy ambitions that you have. It just means taking a look at the motive behind them and what's undergirding those decisions and what's undergirding those action steps within your health journey.
I love that.
That makes
sense. And I think the one thing I hear you saying, like not constantly, because that makes it sound like you're repeating it, which you're not. But the one thing that like is just your constant theme is looking at our motives. What are our motives behind weight loss? What are our motives behind how we're eating? What are our motives behind how we're working out and moving our body? And I think as Christians, if we looked at our motives behind everything, I mean, by what we're posting on social media, by how we're reading our Bibles, by what we're showing up to at church, like if we were to actually look at our motives, man, I think we'd be changed.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, I feel like so much comes down to, well, it's like God looks at the heart. Like man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So when we have like I'm not trying to morph scripture or anything like that. I'm saying, but when we have an issue, like God knows the battle I have about my body. He knows the battle of how I see this good body that he has me living in. Yeah. Like he knows the struggle. He knows the heartache. He knows the depths of it far beyond what I could actually explain to someone else about my own struggle. So like when it comes to body issues, like he's looking at the condition of my heart. He's looking at how I feel about things and like the, you know, how I'm approaching it inwardly. And so for me, when it comes to conquering these body issues, it's like I had to learn that it just runs so much deeper. Like I could lose every pound and I could reach the BMI chart on the doctor's office and still there would be an issue in my heart that I've got to let God heal and I've got to let him walk me through to freedom. And it's going to be a process. It's going to take some time. And my journey in that is not going to look exactly like anybody else's journey, but like God knows me. God knows Jennifer. He knows Jennifer's heart. He was there when I was 5 years old in kindergarten and the little boy said I had chubby cheeks. Like he was there through the bullying. He was there through the hard upbringing. He was there through carrying the weight that made my knees and my back hurt. Like he was there through the weight loss. He was there on every walk. He was there when I stepped on the scale, when I got off the scale. He's always been there and he'll always be there. And he knows the depths so well. And so in order for me to get through this journey that I am in, this life that I am living and that I am walking through, I have to make it a heart thing. Like I have to open up and see what are the depths of my, search my heart, oh God, like what is in there that I need to align with your word? How can I make your word just fill up my heart? And so that when I look in the mirror, I'm not criticizing this amazing thing that you created for me to live in, but instead I'm appreciating it because you do good things. You do things for our benefit. You know what you're doing. You know the plan. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, you know, like I could go on and on, but it's just,
I'm just like, continue, keep going. This is like, I don't
know. It's
just go for it.
There's just so much depth to it. And when you finally get this realization that God is not like counting the pounds you're losing because he will like you better or love you more if you're smaller and take up less space. Like he looks so far beyond all of that. And so to really get to the bottom of the issue, I just had to learn, like, if this is the body and this is the size of the body that I'm probably going to stay in for however long it is, then this has got to be enough for me. I've got to dig deeper and I've got to look at the things that God is looking at it at and look at it how he's looking at it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think just, I mean, it's like, God is our Heavenly Father. God created us. He made us. He made us to be like him. And I look at my kids when they're like, I have two boys, so they're very rarely talk about their body issues or they don't have any because they are boys. But my daughter, who's not my biological daughter, but she's not biologically me, when she's like kind of pinching at her stuff and I'm like, no, you're mine.
Right.
Again, I'm like, no. And so I can only imagine God like, come on. I mean, he's not exasperated with us. He loves us so much. But,
right.
You know, like that's how I envision. He's like, oh, I made you so beautifully. Like, please stop. Please stop punishing yourself for that cupcake.
Yeah.
Please enjoy. Please live a life that is more than this. Like that's like if we stopped looking at this so much and we actually like got to use our gifts and our callings and I think like you got to walk through this so that you could help others. Like I really believe that so often we go through things so that we can help others through that next step. And so, but there's times where God's like, man, if you would just like stop weighing yourself every day, Jeanette, like what could you do with that couple minutes? Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally 100% agree with you. And I often have thought about, what if I could, like, I thought about how much of my headspace was filled up with like critiquing my body or just being dissatisfied or unokay. I thought, wow, like, what could I do with this heart space and this mind space?
Time.
And the time that I'm spending worrying and stressing and loathing my body, what could I actually do that's more like productive and good if it wasn't filled with these negative thoughts about my body? That's so good. Yeah. Good. Very good point.
Whichever. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for living this out for us. But also thank you for sharpening us in this. Like, honestly, like, this is one of those, like, as iron sharpens iron, like, you are walking us through this. You are saying, like, hey, you have a good body. Like, your body is good. And it's one of those things, as Jess Conley came out with her book, I found myself, it brought light to how critical I am of others' bodies. And I immediately would say, like, their body's a good body. That's a good body. Yeah. And it's been, you know, a 6-month process of like, okay, we're going to change the way we speak. We're going to be women who call out other women for good and for glory and for a good body, no matter the size or shape or anything about it, but we are going to change it. And one, it starts with our own self, our own heart. And then two, as we are leaders and mothers and friends, we're going to change the world, man. You're leading the charge.
Totally. Let's do it together. Awesome. We are changing this thing. Yeah,
we are. Okay. What is it time for in your own life right now? Like, we are gearing up for holidays and a book launch. What is it time for in your own life?
I think it's time. I feel like it's always time for, like, for me to always reevaluate my absolute presence in wherever I am. So, like, especially my kids went to school this year. Like, my littlest one, my little baby went to kindergarten this year, and so one of the big intentions that I have right now is just in my time that I have with them, now that they're both gone at school all day, every day, is to just be super present and to really see them when I am in those little few hours left of the day where I see them, just to be really intentional and really present with them. So that's a big focus of mine. Yeah.
I love that. I try to do that too. Try to be done with working. They're big. And so they're home at like 4. So I try to have everything wrapped up by 4. That way we can just chill. But also they're getting bigger. And so my middle kiddo texted me the other day, like, I'm going to stay at school for a volleyball game. I'm like, okay. And so I picked him up and it was like almost 7:30. I'm like, hey man, I haven't seen you like all day. I really miss you.
I know. I kid you not. I was getting my kids on the bus today and I was like, guys, I'm really going to miss you today. They're like, let me guess, you already miss us and we're not even gone. I'm like, okay, yes, you're right. And I must say that way too much.
You're like, never mind. I'm going to get a coffee. It'll be fine.
That's right. Hey, which reminds me, that's what I'm doing next. I'm going to get my coffee.
That's right. Jennifer, thank you again so much. Thanks for writing this book. Thanks for being who you are on the internet. I know that, like we said, it's a tricky place, but I think that you do such a great job of being fun and resourceful and just exactly who God made you to be in that space. So I really, really appreciate how you show up.
Thank you, friend. Thank you so much for having me.
I know I say this every week, but did you just love meeting Jennifer? Oh, I love following her on Instagram, so be sure to follow her there. Be sure to say thank you and tell her thanks for having coffee with us. She's just a delight to be around, and she's a good friend, and she's just a great storyteller. She's a great leader. I love that she's leading us in this movement. Your body is a good body. So be sure to check it out. If you want another book recommendation about body positivity or having a good body, check out Jess Conley's book, Breaking Free from Body Shame. It's another great book that reminds us that we have good bodies and that our bodies are capable and strong just as they are. So check that out. I know that you will love it. Okay, friend, I hope that you had a great holiday season. Let's start this new year strong. Let's be ready for what's coming towards us. And happy 2022. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The episode that was just before this is episode 200. I would love if you went and listened to episode 200, share it with a friend. Let's celebrate together. And please be sure to leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts for It's Time for Coffee. That'd be the best 200th episode gift that you could give us. So have a great day. Have a great week. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.